The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us on God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, and today we're with Father Christopher Cox, who is the administrator, probably soon to be pastor, out at in Chesterland at St. Anselm's Church. Father, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate being here.
Where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up actually not too far from Chesterland. I grew up in Lake County, okay. So I grew up in Eastlake.
Okay. Regular Mass for your family? What were your family practices?
Well, that's a very interesting question. So my mom is one of 10, so big Catholic family, mm-hmm. Polish and Hispanic, very weird combination. But my mom made sure that we got to Mass all the time. My dad actually didn't grow up Catholic. So okay. My dad, who was a couple years before I was ordained a priest, went through the RCIA to become Catholic.
Okay. Regular prayer before meals, or just weekend Mass like most people? Or?
Yeah, that was basically it. It was weekend Mass. And then as I got a little bit older, I started to get a little bit more involved with the church. But I owe a lot of that to Catholic schools. My parents really made sure that we went through Catholic school, my brothers mm-hmm. and I.
Where'd you go to school?
St. Joseph the Martyr before. Well, it's been closed for a little while, but before it closed, yeah.
Yeah, and all the way up through?
Oh, yeah, it was K through 8, and then I went to public high school. I went to Eastlake North High School.
Mm-hmm. We had another vocation out of Eastlake North. I can't remember who it was now that we've talked to on the show.
Yeah, he would have followed me probably at St. Justin, Father Kevin Fox.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But so did you get an inkling early on, or was it later in life that you started thinking, man, maybe that's for me?
Great question. So it actually, the first time I ever thought about anybody actually becoming a priest, it went I think it was in eighth grade. It was my second year helping out with the parish's Living Stations of the Cross. There was a young priest at the time named Father Dave Ireland, who's been out at Sacred Heart in South Euclid, formerly St. Greg's, for a while. He was the parochial vicar at the time. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, they had a long story short, they had appointed me to be the part of Jesus, which normally went to a senior in high school. Nobody was brave enough to be this part. And I put everything I had into this role, and he takes me to the side one day and says, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? He really caught me off guard with that one.
Yeah.
You never think about that. My dad watched a lot of Star Trek growing up. I kind of thought that, hey, they needed a priest there in Eastlake or Chesterland. God's going to beam them down. It didn't really work that way. No.
So you started praying about it, thinking about it. How did you grow that that seed into a?
Well, yeah, it was very unique because I did the weird part of deciding to ask my friends if Father asked them the same question.
Okay.
And Father did not ask them the same question.
Be a good reporter.
And unfortunately, what ended up happening was I graduated eighth grade from the Catholic grade school. Went into public high school. Well, that still kind of followed me because my friends started to tease me a little bit about it. Like, he's going to be a priest. He's going to be a priest. Ironically, when going to high school, I dated. I played sports. I had your typical everyday kid life,
yeah.
Right? But again, it was when I was a senior in high school, I worked my butt off in school. I think I was a top 20 student in a class of 450.
Nice.
And I knew that I needed to get a good scholarship for college. Started applying. I was part of the parish youth group. Went to the parish priest who was in charge of that. hey, which one has a good campus ministry program?
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? It's almost as though they talk to each other.
And this guy's been conspiring.
I know, right? That's what you would have thought. But in the end, that question, the way he asked it, wouldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't dating somebody at the time. And even though I grew up maybe about 12, 15 minutes away from the seminary, I didn't even know we had our own seminary or what it was. But I made a decision. I was helping him out with a retreat. And it was on that retreat when I finally decided, you know what? This question is going to bother me for the rest of my life if I don't answer it now in, mm-hmm. in the proper way. So I'm not dating somebody. But if I was and I started to date somebody and didn't answer this question, I would feel like I was cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel like I was cheating on God, which you don't want to do either of those.
No, that's for sure.
And God got me into the seminary for a very human reason, but it was the reason I needed because I sit before you, a priest, almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So you were right to the seminary then?
Basically, yeah.
What was that like? I think sometimes, I've said this on shows before, I think sometimes people think that you go in the door and the door slams and you chant Gregorian chant all day long, you know, as opposed to regular guys with basketball leagues and all kinds of stuff, you know. But I think there's a misconception maybe among people like me.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, all the questions, if you've never been to our seminary before, all the questions you have about what do they do there, I had too. I had no idea, but I knew I needed to take the leap of faith to give this a try.
You can always leave.
Right, exactly. I mean, it takes us like a decade to become priests, so it's not like they strap that Roman collar on you right away. You have to earn it.
For sure.
But I knew that, eventually that was where my path was going to lead, was to this discernment question. But little did I know, you know, I'm thinking the same thing that you are, like where it's like, do they chant all day? Are they reading from the Bible and saying, oh, did you see what Job did today in the book of Job? You know, I had no idea. Luckily for me, I quickly discovered, you know, there are guys from all different walks of life, from all across the diocese, but they're all in there to answer the same question. Is this what God's calling me to do? Is this how I dedicate the rest of my life? And luckily for us, too, there is a lot of what we would call human formation, which one of my favorite things at the whole seminary was I had a gym in my basement.
Yeah, that's true.
It was great.
The guys are helping one another out too. If somebody's doubting, say, well, yeah, I had kind of that same doubt, but here's how I got through it. Is there a lot of that that goes on?
Absolutely. I mean, just to be able to support each other, especially in those crisis moments, as St. John of the Cross would say, those dark nights of the soul, mm-hmm. you know, you want to be able to help each other out because you know that you're going to have your own dark night of the soul. And you're going to need that other person's help to pull you out of that.
Translates well to your work, too, in a parish. People come to you in happy times, for sure, but maybe a lot more sad times when they just need some guidance.
Absolutely. I don't know any other work in this world where you're dealing with literally every single part of somebody's life as a priest. And what an awesome journey to be able to be part of all of that, and to be able to do this every day of my life, what a blessing.
Yeah. Father, stay right where you are. We're going to come back after these messages on God Calling with Father Christopher Cox. We hope you'll stay tuned too. Father Christopher Cox is joining us, currently the administrator at St. Anselm's in Chesterland, and eventually, soon, hopefully, to be pastor. But when you got out of the seminary, where'd you go first? Well, I'm always interested in talking to priests about this, that intern year and the diaconate year. Everybody seems to have gotten a lot out of those experiences out in the parishes and away for 6 months or a year at a parish. Where did you go?
So that is one of the greatest blessings of having our own seminary. Most priests don't get that opportunity to do an assignment at a parish, but we do here in Cleveland. Again, very blessed here in Cleveland. But in my internship year was the first year that Communion of Saints in Cleveland Heights opened. So Communion of Saints was a merger of four parishes
right.
into two worship sites. And the new pastor at the parish, Father John McNulty, had just arrived there, and they thought, you know what, this is good training ground for somebody. Mm-hmm. And then for my diaconate, it's actually where I met a lot of people who work here at 1260 The Rock. I was in Strongsville. Okay. It was actually my first West Side assignment because I grew up on the east side.
Right.
But they kept on assigning me to places on the east side. So I was sent to St. John Newman in Strongsville with Father Bob Craig, who's since retired from there.
And so graduation comes, or ordination comes, graduation and ordination, I suppose.
Right.
You've got an advanced degree. But where do you go first there?
So the bishop gathered us around the table. It was Bishop Lennon at the time, Bishop Richard Lennon. And he gathers the six of us in my class. We're in the class of 2014. And he gives us all our assignments one at a time. And he says, I'm sending you to St. Francis Xavier in Medina. And I didn't really know anything about Medina at that time. But 4 years later, after that assignment, I could say, hey, I know quite a bit about Medina.
Mm-hmm. So 4 years later, you're in 2018. What happens next?
So in 2018, again, another gathering. And instead of getting the letter directly from the bishop, they're less formal at this point. So they send us a letter. And the letter tells me that I'm going to St. Charles in Parma.
Big parish.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like? Cause you probably just, after 4 years, just learned all the names at the last place. Now you got, I don't know how many families, but it's a big, big place.
Yeah. So both parishes are actually pretty comparable in size between the two of them. Again, Medina County, they're a lot further spread apart parishes. Where Parma, I think between Parma and Parma Heights, there's like eight Roman Catholic parishes. So the sizes weren't very comparable. But the second time around, you start to figure out different ways to get to know people's names and mnemonic devices. But as a parochial vicar, 80% of your job is that priestly pastoral ministry. So you really get to know the people that you're working with side by side in the various ministries of the parish.
I talk to some of the retired priests sometimes, and they're so happy in all the administrative stuff and all that goes away. I can just do what I like doing. I like being a priest.
Right, exactly.
I hear that quite often.
Yeah, when we go into seminary, we don't the things that excite us about priesthood isn't the administrative stuff. It tends to be like being out there with the people.
Yeah, the groundskeeper didn't come today, or the lawn service, or whatever it is.
Right.
But all right. So then, what happens next?
So it was June of 2021. I kind of had skated under the radar for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And my classmates, a number of them, were already assigned to parishes as administrators by that point. And I think they're making their way through the list. So I get a call from the vicar for clergy at the time. And he says, you know, the bishop would like to send you to St. Anselm in Chesterlin. What are your thoughts on that? Now, Chesterlin, again, I had visited the place a couple of times before because it's on the east side. And when you're in seminary, you go to daily mass when you're not actually at the seminary.
Right.
And I sometimes would go there. So after some prayer, you know, thought, okay, you know, I'm going to honor the discernment of the personnel board of the bishop and say yes. And that was June. I had to keep it quiet until July of 2021. And then that's when I got to meet the people, the staff and everything. And then October 1st of 2021, so it was several months later, I reported. That was my first day of being the guy in charge.
Yeah. I wondered what it would be like to get that call, because if you ever get a call, they say, are you alone? then you know it's something bigger, because that's the call the bishops get.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell them about your parish.
So it is a magnificent parish. I love being with the people. It's my predecessor was there for 27 years. So I know there was a learning curve on all of our ends with that. It was a new role for me. It was somebody else is suddenly in charge after 27 years. And it was a unique experience, I think, on all of our ends. But what's so beautiful about it was that I love the small town mentality of people. Even though it's a parish of about 2,200 families, it still has that beautiful family values kind of experience. And going there and experiencing that with the people, I knew that as we prayed together, it wasn't just going to be one representative from the family that was going. It was going to be the whole family.
That's great.
And I am so grateful because we've been growing. So even the amount of people that have been in the pews since the time I started has went up a good bit as well. And not just people, but a good number of young families too.
Beautiful. priest friend of mine was assigned, I won't say who, but assigned to a big parish where the pastor had been there for 20-some years, you know?
Right.
I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm not going to change anything for the first year. Because you'd probably get that, well, you know, Father so-and-so used to...
Right, yeah, you I'm do.
Sure, you sure heard a little bit of that, right?
Oh, yeah. You do. And it's understandable.
Sure.
You know, my home parish pastor was there for a good chunk of my life, too. So it's like if somebody suddenly showed up there, I get it. Because you're thinking from that one perspective, okay, this is how he led, and now it's very different because this new one's going to lead it a little bit differently because he never served with that other guy.
Mm-hmm,
so right. He doesn't know how he led.
Do you have a school?
I do.
What type of blessing is that, to watch them grow and in their faith?
It is a great big blessing. I thoroughly enjoy it, having school mass every week, prayer opportunities to pray with the kids, teach them about the different beauties of our faith. It has been phenomenal. And this generation of kids are so inquisitive. They want to learn. They say that you're much more like your grandparents' generation than you are like your parents. And this is so true with these kids. They want to learn from their grandparents who are very faithful, but they also want to learn more about their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not afraid to ask questions. So it has just been phenomenal for me to be able to be part of that journey with everybody.
Do you go to the classrooms and talk to the kids?
I do sometimes, yeah. You know, the administrative things that we were talking about a little bit ago, they do take me away from that sometimes, but especially being the only priest at the parish.
Yeah.
But it does, whenever I get an opportunity to walk through the halls, especially, or even just to wave goodbye to the kids as they get into their cars or on their buses, is amazing. And being able to hear them at recess...
Yeah,
it's like okay, people are having fun out there, even though it's 30 degrees outside.
Yeah, we used to love when Father would come to talk to our classes because it gave us 20 minutes away from our lessons, which was great. And the kids would come up with these questions. Now, Father, if you had committed a mortal sin and you were on your way to confession and you were run over by a car, would you still go to heaven? Because silliest questions, and some of them, I've got to be very cute.
Oh, they are. And the kids definitely think of the same way. I mean, kids haven't changed. I mean, they still will come up with those weird scenarios, but it makes me chuckle. Now, I'm more prepared, I can say, today than I was when I first ordained to answer those questions.
Father, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling after these messages. Our guest today on God Calling is Father Christopher Cox. You're currently at St. Anselm's and loving it. I can tell from the smile on your face.
Yeah.
In your life, something I read about you online, you talked about a teacher who was firm with you, but maybe not even the easiest to get along with, but kept you working hard.
So I'm one of three boys that my parents that I grew up with. My older brother is three grades ahead of me. So I was a very mischievous young kid because I was bored. They finally, I think it was like my second or third grade teacher finally realized that I was mischievous because I was bored. Because I still got straight A's, but I was disrupting the kids that
had to work couldn't, hard.
That needed to, and that was the problem. When I was in eighth grade, was really the year that so many things changed for me. I mentioned earlier about my vocational calling, but it was also being able to present myself well. You know, it gave me public speaking opportunities, reading at mass, speaking in front of school assemblies, and that teacher really pushed me out of really my comfort zone and was very positive with her feedback. And as a young guy who's trying to figure out himself, that became a huge catalyst to give me the confidence that of what I do even today as a priest.
Did that translate to getting out of your comfort zone and deciding to, let's try the seminary for a year?
Probably. There's so many elements that gets each man to consider going into the seminary. And I firmly believe that was one of those things, because you have to start to picture yourself when you see Father up there doing mass and doing a homily. For most of us, it's like, I couldn't do that. And at that time, I definitely thought I couldn't do that. But the more I got up there, my heart was still beating out of my chest, right? And I could feel my pulse in my ears. It was that anxiety driving, but I pushed through it so that, I could get more comfortable with it. And it honestly, as a priest today, you would have no idea. His heart rate doesn't even go up. I think I checked my Fitbit one time. Mm-hmm. Does my heart rate go up when I do a homily? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Huh? No. What about social media and these young people today? There's so much bad stuff out there, but we talk to so many people, Daughters of St. Paul, and they have good content out there, but it doesn't get the media coverage for sure that the bad stuff does.
Right. It's I could probably say that back in early 2016, I was one of the first priests to actually podcast.
Oh, okay.
So I had a parish podcast, my first parish assignment for a while. And it was a way to do exactly what you're saying. It's like trying to filter social media with something that was positive of the faith, but to also provide my people a chance to be able to hear something that was faith-based versus the other content that they could get on their devices and all that stuff. And so it was a way for adult education. But, you know, I think it's just good, faithful people, because there's only so many of us priests, but it's our people living out their baptismal priesthood to put the good stuff out there. Because I think the world is so negative anymore, but our faith is a faith of hope. We have to share that hope that quite literally the gospel means good news. Let's share the good news with people.
Yeah.
So, you know, be different. Yeah. Post something different on social media, something good and positive, but also something that's real.
You have an active laity there, because clearly with fewer vocations, the role of the laity is ever more, day by day, is more important. Active bunch out there at St. Anselm's?
Yeah. So I arrived there right as COVID was kind of like coming to a conclusion. So a lot of those key volunteers like started to say, when I arrived, like, hey, Father, I used to do this for many years, but I'm getting too old, or I can't do this anymore. So as I'm getting to know the people, I'm trying to figure out who to ask to help do some of these things. Mm-hmm. And praise God, the Holy Spirit led me to some of those people, and we have a good thriving group of ministries. But I'm very grateful. Like the current staff that I have right now has just been phenomenal. They, you know, if you read through my bulletin articles, quite frequently am I thanking my staff, because it isn't just a one-man show, right?
It's right.
It takes a whole village. It's not just my parish. This is our parish, I tell the parishioners.
Tell me about Strider.
Oh, yes. I was wondering if that was going to pop up. So, so for those of you listening, Strider is my golden retriever. I have a 2-year-old golden retriever. I got him as a puppy about 2 weeks after I arrived at the parish, because I thought, you know what would be a great idea? You know, to start off with a dog so that I already implement him into my daily routine and all that stuff. So if I get him later on, it'd be harder to implement him into the routine, right? And it was a challenge when he's a puppy. You know, the dagger teeth, the waking up 3 times in the middle of the night. it was a pain in the butt, but so much joy, especially as a priest living by himself. So much joy. These rectories were designed for 3 guys to live at.
Right.
And it is just such a beautiful thing. So hopefully he's taking a nap right now in the rectory.
That would be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And you like the park system, so that's perfect for a dog.
Absolutely. Yeah, now that we're getting the snow in the wintertime, he loves the snow zoomies. He makes the snow much more palatable as I get older. It's like, all right, he's having fun. I'm going to have some fun out there too.
You say Jesus is number one with you, which probably is not a surprise for a priest, but when things are going in a normal routine day, how do you incorporate that into everything you do?
Yeah, that's the people will, if you ever stop at the parish, I frequently talk about prayer all the time, and it's not just talking about it, but we do it. I do that frequently with my staff, with the parishioners and everything, and we got to be rooted in prayer, because you know, especially the job that we have right now, not just as priests, but even the laity, those living out their baptismal priesthood, it's a hard battle. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one running out into the darkness with a torch, right? And you're wondering, where are all these other people around me? And it's in there that you have to really root yourself to Jesus Christ and say, this is important to me. I have that light of Christ in me, but I got the fire of the Holy Spirit. So for me, it's just making sure that the daily routine of prayer, not just the liturgy of the hours, but personal prayer, sitting in front of the tabernacle, praying at night, you know, that I'm constantly living in prayer so that I'm not making the decisions just myself, but that God's part of that decision-making process for me.
Run so as to win. St. Paul, your favorite quote.
It is. It's, you know, I told you guys that I love the basement gym.
Yeah.
And now I was, ironically, I wasn't a runner. I was a lifter. I used to get shin splints, but it was something that just catapulted me. It's like, okay, you know what? He didn't know limitations, St. Paul, to what he was going to do. He was going to give everything to God. And that's precisely what we're called to do. Like, okay, give it all to God. Run so as to win, right?
Perfect. Father, thanks for joining us. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. Father Christopher Cox is our guest. And thank you for being here, folks listening, as well as you, Father.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.